Thank you for joining Truth in Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth in Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthinlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth in Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth in Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now, where the message is already in progress.
In the ground, and whenever these seeds go in the ground and it's the right season, it's the right time, and it's going to bring forth a harvest. It doesn't matter if it's raining right now. It doesn't matter if it's storming right now. This is the right season. And when I do things in the right season, I cannot wait for all the stars to be in alignment. I cannot wait for all my ducks to be in a row. I cannot wait that I get a cosign off. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all responding right now. I cannot wait for everybody to respond or everybody to cosign on what I want to do. But no, if God said the time and it's right, I got to move in the season and the timing that God have called me to do. Looking and listening to the wind will make your ship go down.
Preach, boy. But verse 14 says, but soon as the wind, the hurricane, that's literally a hurricane. A hurricane. Y'all like to help me here. A hurricane. That's how we say hurricane. Y'all don't be saying no hurricane and on a hurricane watch. No, we say hurricane. Listen. Listen to me. Listen. Soon as they got out there, here it is. Here comes the wind. Here comes the trouble. I want to tell you all, because some of y'all, maybe I should have preached this last week. Because some of you all have already set sail. Maybe I should have preached this 6 months ago, because some of you have already made up in your mind you're going to listen to yourself, you're going to listen to worldly counsel, you're going to go after the creature comforts, you're going to listen to the wind. And let me tell you what's going to happen. Let me prophesy to you if you've already set sail in something that you know that God has not prescribed you to do, there's going to be some unnecessary giving up. Unnecessary giving up. Yes, it will. Unnecessary when you listen to yourself, when you listen to ungodly counsel, when you look for comfort and you listen to the wind, there's going to be some unnecessary giving up. Look at verse 15. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind. The same wind they listened to, now they couldn't control it. Good God. Now, they said they couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up. And let it run before the gate. I don't know about you, but have you ever been in a place in your life where things done got so bad you just want to lift your hands up? Things done got so bad you just want to say, oh, whatever happened, come get the car. You went to where you stopped answering the phone. Now you just pick the phone up and say, look, I'm parked over here at 122 Main Street. Just come on, get this thing. I'm tired of y'all bothering me. I'm tired of y'all calling me. I'm tired of y'all looking for me. Come on here, somebody. You know, have you ever got to a point where you just give up, that where you saying, I'm tired of fussing, I'm tired of fighting, go on and believe what you want to believe, go on and say what you want to say. Can I tell you, that's what happens when you set sail unnecessarily. It will cause you some unnecessary giving up. Oh my God, God never wants to put us in a place that where we quit, that where we throw in the towel. But the only thing God wants to push us to is to release and to relinquish our will. Good God. The only thing that God wants us to quit at, the thing he wants me to quit at, is to quit trying to be the boss, to quit trying to tell him what to do. That he don't, no, he doesn't want me to throw in the towel, he doesn't want me to walk away, he just want me to get to the point to where I'm saying, God, I'm going to surrender all to you. Oh my God, there are some of you and some of us that have gone through something that we have had to quit unnecessarily. Oh, and there are some of us that every time we get in a situation, every time things don't go the way we want them to go, every time somebody say something contrary that I want to hear, now all of a sudden you want to quit. Or if you would have prayed before you set sail, or if you would have listened to the voice of God, or if you would have listened to the counsel that God tried to give you, you wouldn't have to throw your hands up. I'm preaching. Let me get back to this. There's some unnecessary quit. Oh, there's some unnecessary work. Not only some unnecessary, quitting or giving up. There's some unnecessary work. You don't believe me, huh? It's right here in verse 16. And after running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat. That's so good. God is good. Because they have gotten themselves in a situation that they should not have been in. And now they got all this unnecessary work. Now they got to row. Now they got to work. Now they got to try to put water out the sea. Now they got to try to do all this stuff. They running around. They scrambling around because they did not listen to God. Oh my God. If you would just humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and allow him to lead you and allow him to guide you, you won't bump into so many walls. You won't have so many situations. You won't have to work so hard, but know you can flow in the grace and the anointing of God. Because here, whenever it is I'm working with the Lord, I don't have to force my entry. I just let God do it. I just have some unnecessary giving up, unnecessary work. There's going to be some unnecessary loss. Some unnecessary loss. Verse 18. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. What was the motivating factor to make them go in the first place? It was the fact that they had this cargo, the fact that this cargo represented money. And so now what happens in your life? God, what happens in your life that when the thing that was your motivating factor, now all of a sudden you got to cut ties with it? Oh my God, because you didn't count the cost, because you didn't do what God called you to do. Now all of a sudden the thing that was so important to you, oh my God, I've been doing some spring cleaning, some house cleaning around the house, and here it's just amazing. I told my wife last night, it's some things that I threw away yesterday that here 5 years ago I would have never parted ways with. Have you ever been there before where you cleaned up your house and it was something that you just need? Yeah, it was so dear to your heart, just so you'll never see yourself parting way. You're gonna hold on to this. This is a family heirloom. You just love this thing. You just cherishing this thing. But then something happens in the process of time. You begin to mature. You begin to develop. And some things that was once so important to you, now not so much important anymore. Or is there anybody in here has ever gotten there that where something just not just as important as they used to be? Money is just not as important as it used to be. Me being included in your little status, in your little group, is not so important to me. I used to live just for people, just to say, oh, I love you, and I just want people just to accept. But once you got turned down, once folk showed you that people gonna be people, you don't care about what people say. Come on here, somebody. You don't care about people think about you. You just going on and living your life and doing what God have called you to do. I'm gonna keep on living, and if the sun is shining good enough, I'll be living La Vida Loca. Come on here, somebody. I'm just going to do what God have called me to do. There's some things in God trying to get us to that place in our life that where we don't have to have no unnecessary loss. If you would just let go of it, if you would just give it up to God, if you would just trust him, you wouldn't have to have some unnecessary losses. I'm trying. Look at verse 19. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. They're trying to stop the ship from going down. So to stop the ship from going down, they took the cargo. They tried to break it up in stages. Tried to the cargo one day, and still, because the storm did not pass over. Now the next day, they took the gear and threw the gear over. Now, the thing that was so important to them, God has now broken them down. Oh, I'm trying to tell you that God, that's what God's trying to do. God is trying to break you down. You wonder why things aren't working and flowing the way that you want them to work and flow. God is trying to break you down, trying to tell you that the only important thing is our relationship. Let me keep going. I'm laboring. I don't want to beat that point. You know what else? Not only is it unnecessary giving up, unnecessary work, unnecessary loss. Fourthly, and I'm finished with this section. It's a long chapter, so y'all got to walk with me on it. This unnecessary, look at this, unnecessary darkness. Unnecessary darkness. Look at verse 20. Acts chapter 27, verse 20. Y'all looking at it? Look at it. It says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest lay on us all. Oh, I got to stop there. Because they didn't have all these instruments. I'm not a sailor. I'm not a fisherman like some. We got some Navy. Where my Navy folk at? I got a Navy guy here. Two Navy guys. I guess that's why they hang together. Navy guy. Any other Navy folk? Navy folk. What Navy? Fishermen. Any fish? I know Mr. Perkins. Yeah, probably on the door. I know he's a fit. There he is. He's a fisherman. What other fishermen? People out there. Y'all got all your little stuff. Got all your little indicators and all your little clickers and tickers and all this stuff. Nobody not out there like this. Yeah, that's not how they do it no more. That's not how they roll. Come on. They got all this fancy gear, all this fancy equipment. It wasn't this day in the days of Paul. All, good God, all they had to navigate them was the stars. All they had to lead them was the stars. They were set sail based off the star, based off the constellation, based off what they see. And what happens when the thing that you're depending in and depending on, you can no longer see it? Oh my God. They rejected the light of the word. Now they're in gross darkness. They rejected what God had called them to do or told them to do. Now all of a sudden, the thing they put all their eggs in, the thing they put all their marbles in, now they could no longer depend on that, because now they're in the middle of some unnecessary darkness. And there are some of us right now, I believe, I got a sneaky suspicion, there's somebody right now dealing with some unnecessary darkness. The thing that you used to come, that used to compass your life and navigate your life and lead your life, that thing is no longer gone. Because then I tell you that heaven and earth will pass away. There's nothing that is permanent. There's nothing that is fixated. There's nothing that will be here and will stand the test of time other than God. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and I'm the same forevermore. He's the only thing that's going to be purposeful. He's the only thing that's going to be consistent. He's the only thing that will not change. And here, when that thing I'm depending on is gone, when that thing I'm looking for is gone, look what the text says in verse 20. It says, all hope of our being saved was last abandoned. They had a little glimmer of hope before this. They had a little glimmer of hope before this. It got bad. Have you ever been there before where things got worse and worse and worse, and now it's worse, sir, and worse is? Come on, I know that's not a word, but it is now. Every word got to start somewhere. Worst this is. Come on here. Now you're in the middle of a worst this is situation because you thought that this was going to work out differently than it's working out right now. All hope is gone. There's somebody sitting here right now. You engaged in praise and worship, but when it comes to your life, you feel like all hope is gone. Come on here. There's somebody in here. You're listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth, but you, when it comes to your situation, when it comes to your healing, when it comes to your deliverance, when it comes to your marriage, when it comes to your children, you feel like all hope is gone. But I want to tell you that you and the devil is a liar, that you are never without hope. As long as you're alive, as long as you got breath in your body, there's always hope. And here, this is what God is trying to remind us of today, that there's always hope. Oh, I'm so glad that God never throws the baby out with the bathwater. I'm so glad when I sit out there and I got all this, I'm listening to myself. And even when I'm listening to ungodly counsel, even when I'm looking for the creature comfort, even when I'm listening to the wind, even when I make unnecessarily give up, unnecessarily work, unnecessarily lose something, and unnecessarily in the darkness, he'll be unnecessarily good. Oh, I'm preaching good. Can I tell you, he never throws the baby out with the bathwater. There's still some hope. There's still some help. There's still some joy. There's still something that God wants to do in my life. Look what Paul said, okay, we got all this we dealing with. Let me give you an unusual reminder. Paul said, let me remind you of something. Look what Paul said. Oh, my parents, you ought to sit up on the edge of your seat. This ought to be your favorite verse right here. You ought to underline this. You ought to highlight this. Come on. Look what it says in 27 and 21. Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me.
Paul said, you should have listened to what I told you. Come on. Where all my I told you folk at? Come on here. I told you not to do that. I told you not to take that. I told you not to. Come on here. Where all my, if you don't know, no, I told me so. Maybe that is you. Come on here. So you maybe and I told you so. Say the way I told you not to do that. I told you not to take that. I told you to call them back. I told you da-da-da. I told the and come on here. You just be like, come on, man. Jeff, you, all right. And then we got it so good. My wife does all the time. Well, I'm not going to say I told you so. Well, you just said I told you so. Come on here. If you just listen to me the first time, can I tell you, Paul gives them an unusual reminder. And every now and then, God does have to slap us like that. Every now and then, God needs to remind us like that. You know why? Because the next time you encounter a situation like that, you'll remember what God said the last time. And you'll avoid that danger. You'll avoid that loss. You'll avoid that unnecessary storm. Paul said, I got to tell you something because God has reminded me. And I'm reminding you. And then he said, I got an unusual visitor. Somebody showed up the last night and told me something. Look at Acts 27:22, and I'm getting ready to blaze. It says, yet now I urge you to take heart. Oh my God, they've been out here for 2 weeks, y'all. Can you imagine? We be crying about 8 hours worth of hurricane. We be crying eight hours. It's just 10 hours. It just be the wind. It just be the howling. It don't even be raining, but we be complaining about the 8 to 10 hours of a hurricane. They're out there for 2 weeks. They haven't eaten. They're out there for 2 weeks. They haven't seen. It's Egypt black, Egypt dark. They can't see anything. The text just said the stars. They couldn't see the stars. They couldn't see anything. It's pitch black. But Paul stands up on the deck of that ship and he says, I want you to be of good heart. I want you to know something. I'm trying to tell you, no matter how dark your situation is, no matter how bad your situation is, can I tell you to be of good cheer? Can I tell you that God still has a word for you? God still has something he's going to do in your life. Paul said, I had an unusual visitor. He says, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only stay in the ship. God says there won't be any loss, but you got to stay in the ship. Oh, we talked about on Friday night in school of ministry, we talked about the divine hand of God, how God will work and God will wield his purposes over and against no matter what it is that man does. But here can I tell you that God has ultimate control over every situation, but that does not negate my responsibility. I still have responsibility. Oh, he said, you'll be saved, but you got to stay in the ship. Oh, God want to do that thing in your life, but you got to stay in the ship. Oh, God want to bring you out, but you got to stay in the ship. Oh, the ship is symbolic of you being in fellowship with the people of God. The ship is symbolic of you being in the house of God. You got to stay in the ship. Come on, doesn't matter how bad it is, you got to stay in the ship. No matter how you want to go up the road and get in another ship and go and get in and port at another harbor, God is telling me to tell you to stay in the ship. Oh my God, I ain't getting no help. I got 2 little claps right here, but I'm trying to encourage somebody to stay in the ship. Put your hands together, give them some praise. Then I'm doing good, I'm doing real good, and I'm getting ready to let y'all out of here. I'm trying to encourage you of something, that God has a word. He wants you to stay in the ship. He said, I had an unusual visitor. He said, somebody came and talked to me. He said, somebody came and gave me a promise. And he said, there will be no loss of life. And come on, I want to prophesy to you today. And I want to let you know there won't be any loss of life. I'm trying to tell you, you know why that ship can't go down? That ship can't go down because the apostle is on that ship. That ship can't go down because the book of Romans is on that ship. That ship can't go down because the book of Ephesians is on that ship. The ship can't go down because the book of Galatians is on that ship. The ship can't go down because the book of Colossians is on that ship. The ship can't go down because Philemon is on that ship. 1 Timothy is on that ship. 2 Timothy is on that ship. 1 Thessalonians is on that ship. 2 Thessalonians is on that ship. In other words, Paul can't die because he still got work to do. You ought to look at somebody and you ought to say, I can't die here. No, I still got some work to do. I can't give up right now because the Lord still got his hand on me. The Lord is still speaking to me. The Lord is still working in me. The Lord is still working on me. I'm not getting ready to die. He said there won't be any loss, but you got to stay in the ship. Look at verse 23. It says, for this very night there stood before before me an angel of God. He said, whom I believe and whom I serve. Paul said, an angel visited me and came and comforted me, and he reminded me of an unusual promise. I'm trying to tell you something today, that if you got a promise on your life, you can't go under right now. You can't die right now, because you got to hear. You got to hear the word of the Lord. You got to receive. Receive the word of the Lord. And you can't die until you see the manifestation of the promises of God. I heard this same Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 20. He say, for all the promises of God, in him they are yes, and in him they are amen. I got an unusual promise. What is my promise?